We haven't had a chance to talk about the Oprah interview with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry last night.
Right.
And okay, so here's the first thing I want to talk to you about it, what I think is really interesting. I'm going to put it in perspective in terms of ratings. And then I want you to guess how well they did. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Golden Globes, remember the Golden Globes last week?
1.5 share. Right. 18 to 54.
6.9 million people watched that Golden mm-hmm. Globes. It was the lowest rated of all time. The one with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler doing it from opposite sides of the country. Okay, so that's the low, 6.9 million, which is actually a lot of people if you think about it. The top rated shows in the United States, ready? Mm-hmm. So the top rated shows, obviously this is network television because Oprah did this on network television. So let's compare apples to apples, all right?
Okay.
The top five top rated shows. This Is Us has 11.2 million viewers on mm-hmm. a regular basis, and that's what they had this week. Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Young Sheldon, they're all in like the 11.5, 11.6
when they're not in
range.
Rerun.
When they're not in rerun, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The highest rated show on network TV is NCIS. We've talked about that before. We've talked about like what the highest rated shows are, and we're always surprised because we've never seen any of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
But NCIS has 15 million viewers, and that's the number one rated show, okay? The NFL games, and we've talked about this before, NFL does really well. It rates higher than like anything else. NFL games average about 14.9 million
mm-hmm.
now. A year ago, 16.5 million. So let's take it at its highest. 16.5 million people watched NFL games this time of year when it was at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to guess how many people watched Oprah interview Meghan Markle and Prince Harry for 2 hours.
Okay. What channel was it on?
CBS.
It was on CBS at 8 o'clock?
From 8 to 10.
8 to 10. Okay.
Eastern time.
So that is when people are in the 60 minutes type of mode.
60 minutes was on first.
60 minutes was on. So that was their lead in. So 60 minutes has huge numbers anyway.
It does.
And right now there is zero on TV on Sunday night.
Right. That's true.
There's no, Fox has cartoons, you know, so there's really nothing on TV.
The Critics' Choice Awards were on last night, too, I realize.
Yeah, nobody cares about that.
I'm just saying.
Share.
Okay.
I'm going to say she pulled 15 million.
That's a good guess. 17.1.
Wow.
17.1. Oprah interviewing the Royals mm-hmm. is more than an NFL game last year. I mean, you know, before the COVID when they were playing. Bigger than NCIS and Chicago Fire and Young Sheldon and all the top shows that are out there. 17.1 million people watched. And, you know, I got to tell you something. That bitch Oprah, she got me to sit through commercials for the first time in mm-hmm. years. I haven't even seen a commercial in the longest time. I sat through commercials.
You learned something. You learned what you want to buy now.
No, actually, it was really interesting. The commercials were the best part because they kept having Demi Lovato do commercials for Talkspace. You know, she was like, I don't know if you know what I went through, but Talkspace has really helped me heal and having somebody to talk to. Yeah. She acknowledged like what she'd been through in her. She didn't come out and say that she had overdosed or anything that happened. Mm-hmm. She assumed. I think she just said, you know, either you know or you don't know. But I went through a rough time and Talkspace is the thing that helped me and it can help you too.
Well, that swimmer dude, he does those commercials.
Right. Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they run that all the time.
Again, he's come out and talked about being depressed. Mm-hmm. Demi Lovato famously OD'd, nearly died. Somebody had a shot of Narcan with them and just shoved it in her and saved her life. So, yeah.
But Sunday night, they picked the right time to air that.
Yes.
That because there's nothing on Sunday nights right now because
right.
there is no football. There is no, you know, anything. So they picked right. the right time. They, but I knew nothing about it. I didn't know it was going to be on TV last night. I didn't see any promos.
It was promoted like crazy. It was literally everywhere. You couldn't look anywhere.
I did. The places I looked didn't have it. Chatterbait never talked about it.
Oh, well, Chatterbait probably didn't. You know, honestly, I think even on Chatterbait, I think there was a girl that was like, I can't wait to watch.
Yeah,
Harry
Amazon didn't have it on there. eBay.
Oprah.
Twitch, they didn't say anything about it. I was on Twitch the whole time. So I was watching people sleep. So no, I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't watching that.
Now, Anthony, can you play the audio from the Meghan Markle thing? We don't have to see the video.
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was interesting, Dr. Robbie, is today when I was preparing for this, I was listening to Meghan Markle instead of watching her. And I found it more interesting. Her very calm tone. She was very staid the entire time. And I just think if I was sitting there with Oprah, I would have been like bawling, especially when I was like opening up about something really vulnerable. But she's really in control. And I thought that was interesting. So let's play a little bit of that. And then I'd love for you to comment on what you think was going on there.
And ashamed to have to admit it to Harry, especially because I know how much loss he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that if I didn't say it, that I would do it. And I just didn't want to be alive anymore. And that was a very clear and real and frightening constant thought.
So what did it mean to you, Cooper, that her voice sounded very, stable?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe she's come to the point in her life that she contemplated suicide. She's dealt with those feelings, and now she can talk about it like it's something that's in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why she was calm, because it's like, you know, I mean, I've heard women talk about horrible things that have happened to them, but they talk about it like you and I are talking to each other because it just becomes a fact of their lives.
Yeah.
And I guess I was expecting, you know, it's still pretty raw and pretty recent, and she's still having issues with the royal family. So I think I was expecting more of like a moment where, I don't know. What did you think?
But, you know, so I hear things in two ways. Number one is obviously an expert who comments on these things. And more importantly, first as a therapist. So I'm always interested in what's not being said, because I think there's what's being said, which is interesting, but sometimes what's most important is not what's being said. And I wish that Oprah would have said, well, when did you get therapy? Are you in therapy now? What helped you go from feeling suicidal to feeling more empowered? I would have liked to hear that answer. And I think it would have been very helpful to the audience. Of course, it's helpful to say, I had a mental health issue and I wanted to get treatment. That's wonderful. But then when did you get the treatment? What kind of treatment? Are you still in treatment now? Are these feelings that you still have?
Mm-hmm.
I would want to know that. I would want to know that. And I did get the feeling that Meghan truly did feel like a victim, and that she was being victimized and wanted to say all the things she felt she couldn't say.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously had a lot of feelings. Listen, it must not have been easy to be in a country that's not yours, have an idea of what the fantasy would look like versus the reality. And what we know is that there's always a big difference between fantasy and reality. I was joking with one of my friends and she's like, I would love to be a princess. I was like, me too. I would wear my crown everywhere while working out. It wouldn't matter. But the reality is there are a lot of rules.
Yeah.
I don't like a lot of rules. I like to rebel against rules.
Right.
And she was in a situation where she was never going to have the status as Kate or William. And the kind of that fractured black and white thinking in the press where Kate is all good and she could never be that person must have been very disturbing. But I think what probably, and when you become a parent, this is felt even more intensely than you feel for yourself. If you feel your child is being maligned or given a different status, that's something that's like a deal breaker.
No, but we discussed this before you came on. It wasn't that Archie wasn't being given the status of prince. He is not in line to be a prince. That's not how it works. In 1917, we talked about this earlier, George V made a very specific edict for who is a prince and who gets the Royal Highness title and who doesn't. And if you're not in a succession, if you're not in line to be king ever, you're never a prince. I mean, Prince Philip wasn't a prince. He had a fight to get the prince title.
Yeah.
Seriously, he wasn't a prince.
And so what I read is exactly what you're saying, that when Prince Charles becomes King Charles, he could reverse that decision because changes, you know, who's next in line. But I think it was more of who gets protection. So I think when they were in England, they had protection. And when they moved away, they did not. And that was a real issue. Or they wouldn't get the same kind of protection. I don't know. It's all a little confusing. But she got her truth out. And what I find even more fascinating is after the interview, the polarization. So we thought polarization just happened with politics. Oh, no. I think that Meghan is a very polarizing figure in the sense that there are people that are very pro her.
Right.
And there are people that are very against her. And I get the sense that nobody is changing their mind.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. The people that were, I just thought everybody supported her. I thought everybody was going to be like, poor Meghan. And I was reading all the, at least my friends, everybody who was tweeting that I was looking at was like, poor Meghan. I can't believe she's been through this. Wow. She's speaking her truth. I was shocked at all the people that were like, what a liar. You know, I was like, whoa, I didn't even think that that was.
Well, there were a couple of things, for example, and maybe you can identify with this more than me, Cooper. But I mean, in America, we know about the royal family and a lot of people in my generation, we were madly in love and looked up to Princess Diana. I know that my wedding dress was a copy of hers, you know, and although we didn't know all the details, there was a lot of American interest. So we know certain things. We don't know it in the same way maybe the British know it.
Right.
So when she would say, I didn't know anything about I didn't know anything about Harry. I didn't look at that. That I question.
Especially her friends were saying that she was obsessed with Diana. So it's like, how can I be obsessed with Diana, know nothing about the royals? I mean, I don't even pay attention to the royals and I know all about them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that there were things that were said, and Megyn Kelly was interviewed on ITV with, Piers Morgan, who's been kind of obsessed in demonizing Meghan.
Yeah, he really doesn't like her.
Yeah, as a result of a personal insult. But what Megyn Kelly said was that she was very good at positioning herself in a positive way. And so there definitely is a desire to be loved there and be seen as good. And she definitely wanted that she wanted that type of affection and love coming at least from her own country. And that was clear as well.
Right, but it's not really her country, meaning us.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, because the British are probably never going to warm to her because she's sort of an outsider.
And what I really feel sad about, I really felt that Harry was being honest and was sharing his truth, you know, as he understood his truth to be. And what is sad to see is that this is a real family. And when you see the destruction of relationships or no going back, that's very sad. It's sad for everybody involved.
Right. Anthony, did you have any questions?
I didn't even see it until today. I just saw the highlights. And I you know, they didn't show it in England until today. So I'm wondering what the backlash is going to be from the Queen and the family on that end when they finally see it.
My main takeaway was I can't wait to be interviewed by Oprah so I can talk shit about my boyfriend's family. Like, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait to just like throw them all under the bus.
Who's going to have the last word? But like, nobody ever knows what goes on behind closed doors. And I do think the royal family would benefit by helping people acclimate and adjust just because they're good at being adjusted. You know, people need help. And I think that would serve them well in terms of engendering even more loyalty within the family. That's David coming in behind me. What was I going to say? I got thrown off here.
No, about you're saying like how being
There's somebody behind you in your house. Watch out. There's somebody behind you in a mask.
Somebody just broke into her house while we're sitting here.
I don't want to freak you out.
I was thinking about Prince Charles walking her down the aisle and showing up for her and being so lovely to her mother. It was obvious. And her, even Meghan talking about the Queen being so wonderful and warm to her and giving her jewelry. You know, I'm easy. You give me jewelry, I'll be
I know. Give me some pearl earrings, when you're my best friend.
I'll be your friend, girls.
Right.
So I don't know that I could do that, but you know, she's her own person, and let's see how it plays out, because you know, the public is fickle. And at the end of the day, you are left with your own reality.
Right. That's true. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's 2021 outside of that castle, but I think inside that castle, it's still 1821. So yeah. I wonder what's going on inside that castle tonight.
Wow. Well, you know, it must be devastating, devastating, because, you know, Kate was presented in a very different way.
Right.
Hear about or see. We heard some racial undertones, which
I believe, and we saw that developing as it was happening.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess the question I have, can the royal family be canceled?
If they're so stable, how can one actress from Suits take them down? You know what I mean? If you're so stable.
Well, she's doing it right now.
I'm saying, that's what I mean. So obviously they're not all that stable, I guess. I don't know. It's just, I was trying to explain to my boyfriend's like, I don't really get the whole royalty thing. I'm like, think of it like this. It's as if we had to suddenly start funding Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson.
Hmm. Okay. So that's the thing that I always felt when I was in England. I was like, I don't understand why the English people are okay with paying taxes to somebody else who lives in, you know, a palace when they know. Like, that would rub me the wrong way. But it brings in a lot of money to their country. That is the appeal. And so, you know, there is value in having a royal family for England.
Right. Mm. That's a good point. Thank you so much, Dr. Robbie Ludwig.
Thanks for having me.
We love having you on. It's so great. And we love watching you on TV all the time. And I can't wait for you to come back, because we have so much more to talk about. And, you know, I want to get into, next time you come on, your book, This Age, Your Best Age Is Now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because what choice do we have?
Right. I love that. So that'll be our next topic. Thank you so much, Dr. Robbie Ludwig. Thank you for doing our show.
Bye, guys. Bye, everyone.